Maxwell House Coffee presents Good News of 1940.
Good evening, everybody. This is Edward Arnold, and on behalf of the makers of Maxwell House Coffee, I welcome you to an hour of entertainment brought to you each week from Hollywood, starring Fanny Bryce, Hanley Stafford, Lou Holtz, Connie Boswell, Benny Rumert, and Meredith Wilson. Plus tonight's guests of honor, John Bowles and Lucille Ball. Oh, hello, Meredith.
Hello, Eddie.
It's holiday week here in Hollywood, just the same as it is all over the country. And we've got a grand show tonight to bring you all some holiday cheer. We're going to open with a song from the picture we previewed last week, Gulliver's Travels. And it's the kind of a song that really makes you glad you live in a land where Christmas can still mean something. It's called We're All Together Now, and I think maybe it's time we get started.
Gee, that's what I've been thinking.
Oh, listen, you rusty, get away from me and play, will you?
Thanks, Ed. Say, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings if I said anything there a minute ago that hurt your feelings.
You know, how can I stay sore at a guy that makes as little sense as you?
That's right.
Yeah. You know, I think I'll make just one New Year's resolution, Meredith.
What?
I'm going to tolerate you.
Gee, thanks a lot, Eddie.
You're welcome. Now get back on the stand because I don't want to break my resolution just yet.
Peculiar fellow, ain't he? I don't know the man's
name. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to meet one of the most fetching young ladies who has come to Hollywood in my time. Lucille Ball is beautiful, gay, and charming. You've probably seen her in RKO's new Kay Kaiser picture. That's right, you're wrong. And you'll see her again in The Marines Fly High with Richard Dix, which was produced at the same establishment. At this moment, however, she's here in person. Miss Lucille Ball. Lucille, it's a... It's indeed a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Eddie. And, Eddie, before I forget, there's one person on this program I'm dying to meet.
Well, I'd be glad to be of some service.
He's a musician.
A musician?
Well, Eddie, what are we waiting for?
Meredith, if you're the fellow she wants to meet, I won't tolerate you another minute. Lucille, break it to me gently. Come on.
Eddie, I want to meet Lalganga.
You mean Meredith's Hindu oboe player?
Yes.
Shucks.
Well, now you're cooking with gas.
I ain't whistling Dixie, son.
I'm going to quit tolerating that fellow, drat him.
Lucille, you can meet Lalganga, but there's just one catch.
Oh, the name is Ball, Eddie. I'm a great catcher.
Well, can you speak Hindu?
Pitch another one that's high and outside.
Well, you can't talk to Lalganga till Lou Holtz gets here. He's the official interpreter.
Oh, shucks. Can I even holler to him?
Sure, go ahead.
Hi, Lal.
Oh, Buona.
Oh. Now I've got to meet him. I'm going out to look for Holtz.
Well, I'll have to get a turban. I'm not getting anywhere around here. Say, Connie, do you still love me?
Eganda Protasi. Finny Dinny Dondo.
Good heavens, you too?
Bueno.
Now, cut it out. I can't stand it. What are you going to sing, dear?
Stop. It's Wonderful.
Fine. Let's have it.
Stops down on your motor car, right in front of every star. Don't you know just where you are? Stop. It's wonderful, I'll admit, I think you're swell. Nice to know you, nice you felt. I'm afraid you'll kiss and tell. Stop. It's wonderful, and I don't know just what I'll do. 'Cause I'm getting sentimental over you. What to do? You better start that motor, turn the key. Promised I'd be home by three. Can't forget what Ma told me. Stop. It's wonderful. I have the right idea, though I'm just 17. When the stars start winking, I know just what they mean. Some folks think the moon above is just a big chandelier, but I get romantic whenever you are near. So drop down on your motor car, right in front of every star. Don't you know just where you are? Stop, it's wonderful. I'll admit I think you're swell. Nice to know you, nice you fell. I'm afraid you'll kiss and tell. Stop, it's wonderful. I don't know what I'll do. I'm getting sentimental over you. Better turn your key. Promise I'd be home by three. Mom'll be waiting there for me. Stop, it's wonderful.
Very nice, Tommy. And now here's Warren Hull, who uses word magic to turn back the pages of history.
Thanks, Eddie. Tonight, friends, I'd like to take you back to an evening at the old Maxwell House in Nashville, Tennessee, more than 50 years ago. Together, we enter a stately southern dining room aglow with the light of many candles and the loveliness of gracious southern ladies dressed in crinoline, lace, and satin. Coming in ahead of us is a distinguished southern gentleman. As he stops by a table, we hear...
Good evening, Mr. Cheek. You see, I'm drinking your grand new coffee. It's delicious, really it is. And Mr. Cheek, I'm so glad you're calling it Maxwell House in honor of this hotel.
Thank you, ma'am. I'm mighty proud to know that you and so many more of my good friends are enjoying my Maxwell House coffee.
That was more than half a century ago, and tonight we bridge those 50 years with a letter just received from Mrs. Ava Evans Hurstein of Nashville, Tennessee.
Mr. Joel Creek was my friend and neighbor for many years. I'm now 86 years old, and I believe I'm his oldest living customer. During my many years of housekeeping, it's given me pleasure to recommend Maxwell House coffee to everyone. My children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren have had the privilege of drinking Maxwell House, and we all agree it's now, more than ever, good to the last drop.
We hope you're listening in, Mrs. Hurstein, to receive our thanks for a letter we sincerely appreciate. We're glad you approve the way in which we've carried on the work of Joel Cheek. Appreciate our efforts to make Maxwell House the finest coffee you can buy. Today, millions of people are telling us we have succeeded, because more people are enjoying Maxwell House coffee today than ever before in its history. So, friends, if you haven't tried Maxwell House for some time, let me suggest that you get a can tomorrow. We think your own enjoyment and satisfaction will tell you that Maxwell House coffee is now, more than ever, good to the last drop.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, here is Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks. I'm beginning to believe that Daddy, played by Hanley Stafford, needs a few lessons in child-rearing. This time, he has allowed Snooks to talk him into taking her on a hunting trip. As the scene opens, we find them stalking game on the side of a wooded mountain miles from the camp. Now, listen.
Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Down in
Snooks. Uh-huh. Save your breath. This is very rugged country. Tough climbing.
No, it ain't. It's easy.
Well, we'd better stop and let you get some rest.
I don't want to rest. I like it.
I insist. You must rest.
Why?
Because you're only a little child.
Are you going to faint, Daddy?
No. But you're too small to put such a strain on your system. This kind of exertion might even cause an exacerbation of your viscera.
You think so, huh?
I certainly do. Now, what kind of a father would I be to let you wear yourself out like that? Sit on this rock.
We just rested over there.
I know, but I brought you on this hunting trip, and it's up to me to see that you don't overexert yourself. That's why I keep making you stop and rest every few yards. Understand?
Uh-huh. Because you're a fat sissy and you can't walk.
Nothing of the sort. I've hunted over much tougher country than this. It's just that I'm a little out of condition. Besides, this shotgun weighs a few pounds, you know.
I'll carry it, Daddy.
No. You've got enough there with my coat. And those shells. And the canteen. And the game bag.
And a lunchbox.
Well, you carry the shotgun and I'll take that heavy game bag off your hands.
There's nothing in the bag, Daddy.
Well, don't worry. There'll soon be plenty in it. They didn't call me Crackshot Higgins for nothing, you know.
Crackpot Higgins?
Crackshot. Who calls me Crackpot?
You know.
I don't know anything of the kind. And you'd be a lot better off if you didn't repeat everything your mother says.
Well, I want to see you shoot a whale.
Not whale. Quail. We're quail hunting.
I don't see nothing.
Well, it's near the end of the season, and the birds are gun-shy. But I know we're catching up with a bevy right now.
How do you know?
Well, here. Look at these little tracks. See those scratchy marks in the sand? They've been feeding here not 10 minutes ago.
Have they?
Why, sure. I'm a terrific woodsman. Can't fool me on any kind of tracks. Huh. Didn't know your old dad was strictly an outdoors, Charlie, did you?
I think you're wonderful, Charlie.
From these little marks, I can tell there was around 11 quail in the bunch, and they've been feeding on holly berries, and they've headed south by southeast.
You can tell that all from those little scratches?
Why, certainly.
That's funny.
Why?
Because I just made them with a stick.
Funny, isn't it?
I think so.
Well, you happen to make marks exactly like quail tracks.
I'm good, ain't I, Daddy?
Oh, you're dynamite. I'm not so hot on this bird stuff anyway. I'm a big game man.
Let's play a game, Daddy.
There's no playing with this kind of game. You're looking at a man who hunted bear in Alaska.
In Alaska?
You heard me.
You was hunting bear?
That's right.
Didn't you even put on underwear?
Certainly I put on underwear. I was fully dressed. The object of the hunt was a bear. The chase lasted nearly 4 days.
But the bear couldn't catch you.
No, I climbed a tree. What do you mean? I tracked that great big she-bear day and night and finally cornered her against the side of a hill. I raised my rifle and drew a bead on her.
Uh-huh.
But suddenly I decided not to shoot her.
Why?
She didn't have the right expression for a rug. That's a joke.
Mm-hmm. Funny, ain't it?
Well, I think so. Well, shall we move along?
All right.
All right, try not to make any noise.
No, okay.
We may jump some quail around here. Say over to my left a little.
Mm-hmm. Daddy!
What is it?
Look at what I got.
What have you got?
A pretty little pussycat.
Oh, Snooks!
Ain't she cute?
Put that down. Let it go, quick.
Why?
Because it's not a cat. It's a... Oh!
What's that funny smell, Daddy?
Come on. Let's get out of here. Hurry.
Aren't we going to hunt some whales?
We're not going to hunt anything. Come on, hurry. There's no game around here anyway.
I want to eat.
Now, you'll eat as soon as we get back. Come on, let me carry all that stuff. Oh, I should have known better than to take you along. Come on, move a little faster.
I want to eat, Daddy.
I don't see how you can stand the thought of food after what happened. You must have an appetite like a crocodile.
I want to eat a crocodile.
Oh, stop it. I'll take care of you when we get back to camp. Oh, what a trip. Haven't even shot my gun once.
I see something, Daddy.
Where?
Right there. Ain't that a whale?
Shh, look out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just my luck. It's a pheasant.
Shoot it, Daddy.
Oh, how I'd love to. But the season's closed on pheasant. I'm not allowed to shoot it.
Why?
If I get caught shooting pheasant out of season, they'd throw me in jail.
I won't tell nobody.
Could be in self-defense. And if a snoopy old game warden comes around, I'll pin his ears back.
Will you, Daddy?
You bet. Here, I level my gun and you pull the trigger.
All right. Now?
Now.
Whee! We got him, Daddy.
Quick, let's stuff him in the bag. Oh, good thing there's nobody around.
Hello, Morty.
Oh. Why, hello, mister.
Any luck?
No, 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 not a thing. Haven't even seen any game.
Thought I just heard a shotgun.
My daddy just shot a peasant.
Huh?
Oh, yes, yeah. I'm an actor. I just worked in a Russian picture where I shoot a lot of peasants.
Oh, Daddy.
What's that in your game bag?
What business is it of yours?
I happen to be the game warden.
Oh.
Can his ears back, Daddy?
What do you got in that bag?
Why, nothing. Honest, you can ask the child. She wouldn't lie. There's nothing in the bag, is there, Snooksy?
Yes, there is.
I thought so. What is it?
It's a pussy with a white stripe.
A pussy with... Oh, what a soap head. Wait till I tell the boys.
Oh, Snooks, you're a lifesaver.
Yeah?
You certainly fooled him. He thought it was really in the bag.
I fooled you too, Daddy.
Well, what do you mean?
It is in the bag. Ain't I smart?
Oh, what a hunting trip.
We continue our good news program with a song from one of our guests for tonight, John Bowles. John's going to appear in a dramatic sketch a little later on, but right now I'd like him to sing a song he helped make famous. It happened in Monterey, John.
In my imagination, I'm finding consolation somewhere up along the Rio Grande. Sadly, I'm reminiscing, madly again I'm kissing someone up along the Rio Grande. It happened in Monterey a long time ago. I met her in Monterey, in old Mexico. Stars and steel guitars and luscious lips as red as wine broke somebody's heart and I'm afraid that it was mine. It happened in Monterey without thinking twice. I left her and threw away the key to paradise. My indiscreet heart longs for the sweetheart that I left in old Monterey.
Happened in Monterey a long time ago. I met her in Monterey in old Mexico. Scars and steel guitars and luscious lips as red as wine broke somebody's heart, and I'm afraid that it was mine.
It happened in Monterey without thinking twice. I left her and threw away the key to paradise. My indiscreet heart longs for the sweet heart that I left in old Monterey.
That was delightful, John, and thank you. Now, ladies and gentlemen...
Say, Eddie. Yeah. Eddie, Lou Holtz just got here.
Oh, fine. Ladies and gentlemen, that international flash, that sizzling blue streak, that supercharged fellow with the hydromatic drive and sealed beam headlights, the 1940 model Lou Holtz.
Oh, really? Really, really, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Thank you. Thank you.
Lo, you positively look chromium-plated. What's up?
Edward, bless you, Edward. I'm the happiest man in the world. Have I got something to tell you? Have I got something to tell you, Eddie? I don't want anybody to miss it.
All right, come on, gather around, folks. You know everybody, don't you, Lo?
Oh, I know them well, bless you. I know them intimately. Hello, Johnny. Lucille, my sweet.
What's the big newest, Louis?
What's the big newest, Louis?
That's right.
Oh, that's juicy, Lucy. Oh.
John Bowles, meet Lou Holes. Warren Hull, meet Lucille Bow.
Shall I go on?
Pray do.
I have something to tell you. Oh, but wait a minute, wait a minute. I want to share my joy with Lal Ganga.
That's what I'm here for.
You minx, you little minx. He's a sweet kid, isn't he?
Buona.
Hmm?
Buona.
You wouldn't mind holding your bliss in abeyance for a moment, would you?
Oh, well. Heaven can wait.
Oh, Lal.
Buona. Odrastana trodi. Fondre pesado trondre ia o hodi si trade bondo de cinema.
Guardarono assino in a cuore da baci da un copilala.
Ah, copilala. Lal, you stand right here. I've got something to say. Folks, I'm going to make this program famous. When Santa Anita opens on Saturday, a magnificent thoroughbred will be at the post bearing the Holtz colors. His name is Maxwell House, and he's good to the last drop. Now, hold on, everybody. I've got to explain that to Lal. Lal. Santa Anita. Saturday. Jodici. Horsalo, thoroughbredula. Quando si de ha uhude las drapo te bode si.
Murtano no sirga pure de canasi la birde, ferdola.
No. He says he worked. He says he worked at a racetrack in India.
Oh, Lou, ask him what his job was.
Lal. Prende si jabola for the... For a had it, for a had
Mordina na casa la porta de vedine smelola.
Smelola. He says he worked in the stables.
Hey, Lou, ask Al-Ganga if he can ride your horse.
Great idea. Lal. Prende si fondi Santa Anita, you e Giacola. Giacchiola.
Giacchiola.
Prende si for me, jode fides.
Mirdan no so the body that the cado king prodecusn.
Hmm?
King prodecusn, Dorton.
Prudence.
Marisi, oh, miracle, huh?
Yeah?
Murata Katina Baru de Gata.
Yeah?
Murata Kapita Saburu de Gata. Prudence.
Oh, Prudence.
Oh, yeah.
He says he can't ride.
Wait, he can't ride? Well, what's all this noise he just made about a horse?
I'll ask him loud. Prodigy noise for them.
Don't I have for the kiroti? Fliddy, fluddy, flatters?
Morita de gas, so mina no. Por dine latida da pida de rapirogan crepla.
Oh, pirogan crepla, I see.
What did he say?
Well, he says that it wasn't with the horses. He says he worked at the reptile racetrack in Bombay. He was an exercise boy for snakes.
What have they got there, a Santa Snakeola?
A snake track?
I'll look into it. Lal, in Bombay, a race tracalo, snacky, snooky, snickers, lockers?
Snacky, snooky, snacky, snickers?
Prodasto.
Morida catoda de birra d'angoda, morasse lolida Olga Felice Tabia Baby.
Tabio Baby?
Tabio Baby, Olga.
Well, slap me down. Slap me down. He says that snake racing is the biggest sport in India. They run on the racetracks, which are exactly like a corkscrew, and they chase a mechanical pig.
Do they bet on these races like they do here, Lou?
I'll ask the man. Lal, in Bombay, from the sea, a race tracolo.
A race tracolo.
A photografo finishalo.
Photographo finishili.
Same thing. from the sea... You make such long shots.
Oh, long shots. Long shots.
Long shots. Prodisi fan della troda in the restracco. You got a $2 mutuolo windolo.
Oh, mutuolo, mutuolo, mutuolo.
Oh, prodisi.
Mi è pure zilla cargone, manile, corbisi e slinky sam.
Oh, you wouldn't... Slinky Sam.
Oh, Slinky Sam.
You wouldn't believe it, but Lal says that he owned the fastest racing snake in India, a thoroughbred boa constrictor by the name of Slinky Sam.
I'll bet he never won a race.
I'll investigate. Lal. Slinky Sam Trodesi Winalo Kentucky Dorbalalo?
Mordana con isse pordine, papose, care.
He says Slinky Sam won the biggest race in India.
Oh, I'd love to hear about the race, Lou.
You mean you'd like to have the whole thing described? I'll request it. Lal, describolo, resolo, slinky, samolo.
Prodesi, mora di se la carta de 47 local.
They're at the post in Cobra Park.
Mora si la cara d'or in the most sila corkendoffer.
Slinky Sam is behaving beautifully.
Mora si la cara purim farot in a pizzerga.
Python the second is acting very fractious. He just bit the assistant starter and he had to be destroyed.
The snake?
No, the starter. Lal. Procedala.
Procedala, Monaro. Conisis Alegria Pardino, Pipi, Gini, Articlio.
They're all lined up now. They're all lined up. The crowd is tense.
Muratigan.
They're off.
Muratigan. Mordini, Nanakuna, Sidis, Slinky Sam, Ole, La Cordi.
Slinky Sam is in front by a length.
Mirdano, Ponas, La Cordi.
It's Slinky Sam in front. Wiggler, the third, is second. And Python, the second, is third.
Mordini, Canos, and Alpir, the Commerce,
At the quarter, it's Python the second. He gets through on the outside. They're at the half. They're in the stretch. The crowd is cheering. They're running neck and neck, and Slinky Sam. Slinky Sam is booting himself home with his tail. No.
Yeah.
Slinky Sam wins by a fang.
That was exciting. How much did he win?
Lal. Prodesi fonda winalo.
Mordana conisi dollares copipki.
He says he won 50,000 mulaunis.
Oh, now I know I want to meet him. How much is that in American money?
38 cents. Would you like to converse with Lal Ganga?
Yes, but Lou, I don't want you to interpret for me. Will you teach me how to say in Hindu, I love you?
I love you in Hindu. Ah, you little spitfire. I'll tell you. Those three words, I love you in Hindu, are the most beautiful words in the Hindu language. They are exactly like silver. They are like the tinkling of a bell.
Well, ring it, Daddy. Let me hear it.
I love you in Hindu. You merely say,
La chichi ha chochidas.
La chichi ha chochidas.
100%. Absolutely perfect. Now say it to Lal.
All right. Lal.
Buona.
Chichi ha chochidas.
Buona holz. Bonita parzada del silbolo. Chochicha ha chochidas. Oh, prosdruniki.
Lucille. He says he loves you, too.
Oh, Lou, Lou, I want you to tell him something else.
All you got to do is call me John Alden, my sweet. Just call me John Alden and tell me what you want me to convey.
Lou, ask him if he thinks enough of me to come to my house for dinner.
Lau, Lucilla Bolalo, pro de si e dini, dini, dina, dinu, in Lusalo, Bolalo's hausalo.
Mortano conisi, lor pupical quici.
He says he adores the very ground that you walk on.
Morsano no liso d'odor to go back to coda.
He says there's nothing that could keep him from your side.
Mor nasas o vila de diti for the flutas.
He says he'd give up all his worldly possessions to be with you.
Mor nasa conir de borde de blins.
He says there's no...
He's got me.
No, I got it. He says there's no sacrifice he wouldn't make to show his adoration.
Oh, how wonderful. Ask him to be at my house next Tuesday evening.
Lau. Next Tuesdalo. Lucila Bolalo's Hausalo Dinalo.
Dinalo Tuesdalo?
Yes.
Tuesdalo. Compri nati. Nato zito caro. No Tuesdalo.
He says he'll come to your house any night excepting on Tuesday. He says he can't come on Tuesday because he don't want to miss the Pot of Gold program.
Is that so? Well, you can give La Ganga back to the Indians.
Now you're cooking with gas. Let's go eat.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight as the old year wanes and the bright new year is getting ready to break forth in a blaze of glory, our familiar Thursday evening custom takes on a special holiday significance. As Warren Hull pours a steaming, fragrant cup of Maxwell House coffee for each and every member of our cast, and as you in your homes all over America pull up your chairs and join us in this festive moment, let me extend to you, wherever you are, our heartiest good wishes for your health, happiness, and prosperity during the year that is to come.
We pause briefly for station identification.
This is Edward Arnold again, and we continue our good news program as Meredith Wilson and his orchestra play one of the best of the new popular songs, Day In, Day Out. present now our guests, John Bowles and Lucille Ball, and a radio sketch written especially for this program by Robert Riley Crutcher. It's called Invitation to the Waltz, and if Meredith will ring up the curtain, we'll start the performance right now. Meredith?
The scene, a newspaper office. George Harrison, the managing editor, is speaking over the dictograph.
Duffy, where have you been? I told you to stick on this dictograph.
Hello. Sorry, Chief. I was over at the lunch wagon. I just got back.
Again? Well, what are you trying to do? Homestead that place? Stop the presses. I want a two-column editorial on the first page. Quote me as follows. How long is this city to be terrorized by gangsters? The district attorney disappeared just as he was set to move against Tootsie Schultz. The Daily Times is not afraid to say what everybody else is thinking. We accuse Tootsie Schultz of murder! Exclamation point. Read that back.
Well, just a minute, Chief. I have a mouthful. I've been eating, you know, there.
Well, never mind. This may be my last edition. So start those presses rolling, that's all. Come in. Oh, Deanne. What do you want, honey?
You sent for me.
Deanne, what for? Oh, yes. Where did you put that clever obituary I wrote for myself?
On your desk.
Oh, my. Well, that's fine. Lost already. Well, it's got to be found. Call for volunteers. Organize a safari and go through that jungle till...
No, that's all I've heard since I've been on this paper. How long are you going to keep me in the morgue?
What's the matter? You getting corpse conscious?
Oh, I want to be a reporter. I want to go out on a story.
Deanne, you don't know what you're saying. A newspaper's no place for a sweet child like you. Why, your nerves get so tense they vibrate like a barn. Well, like a harp in a barn. You know that. Listen to mine. Going to town on the end of a perfect day.
Oh, but I graduated from a school of journalism. I have a diploma.
Now, look, honey. Forget all about that sheepskin business. They were just pulling the wool over your eyes. Here, sit down. I've been wanting to talk to you about this for a long time. Visualize a little home in the country. It's evening. A woman enters the living room. She wears a beautiful low-cut evening gown. She has just done the dishes. She pauses at the doorway and smiles happily. There's her man with his book and his old pipe and all his dogs sitting around the fire. My dear, isn't... Duffy, don't bother me. I'm busy.
There are some guys out here to see you, sir.
I said I'm busy. I have my hands full.
Oh.
And never mind that oh. You know what I mean. I'm talking to Deanne.
Oh.
I'm going to fire that man. Now, let's see. Where was I? Yes, something about a fire. Yes. Fire, Duffy, fireplace, passion. That's it. Darling, I didn't realize it until this very minute. So many things on my mind, you know. But I'm in love with you. I want you to marry me. I know it's sudden, but...
Sudden? Well, you proposed to me last night.
Last night?
Huh.
Oh.
That's how much I mean to you. You forgot.
Forgot? Huh. Why, your answer stands in my heart like a monument. Is it a crime to want to relive the most important moment in my life? I simply couldn't believe you answered what you did. Say it once more.
Well, all right. I told you I didn't want to settle down until I'd had some adventure in my life, and I meant it. You men think all you have to do is tell women you love them and the die is cast, that they'll paddle across the Rubicon like a bunch of ducks. But I won't marry anybody until I've had my share of excitement.
Dear, think of that cozy fireplace where I can have my pipe and my dogs. What is it, Duffy?
These guys insist on seeing you, sir.
Well, tell them I'm dead.
Yes, sir.
Darling...
They want to see the body, though.
Only relatives are allowed. Throw them out. Can you imagine the... Where was I? See, something about a fire. Fire, Duffy, fire. Now, how do you like that? A third alarm and I can't think where I was going.
Hiya, pal.
Yeah, what is this? Who are you?
Tootsie Schultz sent us. We're ambassadors of joy and we brung you an invitation to the waltz.
That's right, Chief.
Duffy.
He had a little stomach trouble. He's over at the lunch wagon taking a cure.
Duffy! If Tootsie thinks he can stop my editorials with a payoff...
Payoff? That's a laugh. When you hit the jackpot on Tootsie, he pays over the couple of slugs. Why don't you be smart?
Yeah, why don't you?
You can't prove nobody murdered the D.A. You ain't even found a body.
Well, I will, and when I do, I'll drive you and gangsterism out of this city once and for all.
Yeah? Maybe. You kind of like this dame here, don't you? Maybe you'd feel different if something was to happen to her.
Huh? What do you mean?
Well, if this isn't the silliest thing I ever heard of, I'm going to get a manicure.
All right, you mugs, grab her.
Come on.
Don't let her get away.
Let go of me. George, just because I say I want a thrill, you have these idiotic-looking men come in here and pretend to be gangsters. The least you could have done is wait a while so it wouldn't have been so obvious.
Dear, I don't think you quite understand the situation.
Oh, why, they don't even know how to act tough.
What do you mean, act? We are tough. Why, we're so tough, we...
There. You see? Even they don't know how tough they are. But this is Tootsie Schultz's mom, honey, and they have guns.
Well, so have I, and I'm going to let them have it. I was just kidding. Just wanted to see you jump.
What's the matter with that dame? What's the matter? She nuts?
She must be.
Grab them both.
Come on, Dave.
Take them to the old house in the country.
Oh, George, all this isn't fooling me a bit. You can't get me to marry you with any fake kidnapping. I meant it when I said I wanted a thrill.
Well, it's a dull world, honey, but you never can tell. Things may pick up.
Okay, they can't move. Dump them on the floor and we'll go get Tootsie.
Ha, ha, ha. The idea, having those men walk off and leave us tied up in the middle of the night. Of course, I don't want to be a killjoy, but...
Deanne, please, honey, stop using that word kill. I hate to break the news to you with a shillelagh, but this thing is on the level.
Oh, now, don't pretend this isn't the little house in the country you were telling me about. Why, it's exactly as you described it. Of course, the place will need fixing up. It's sort of dusty.
What's that? You don't suppose this house is haunted? I'd have sworn I saw... There it is again. A white thing waving back and forth by the window.
That's the shutter.
Well, if that's the shutter, somebody just took it around the house.
Oh, you can't scare me. Haunted house. Well, you should have had an old organ playing. All you've got here is a couple of measly castanets.
That's my teeth. Maybe I better hold your hand. It's so dark, I can't see. Here it is. I don't want you to be frightened.
I'm not afraid.
No? Your hand's like ice. So cold it... Huh? What did you say?
I said, I'm not afraid.
Well, your voice sounds so far away.
Of course it does. I rolled over here by the window.
Well, if you're over there, well, then who... Whose hand am I holding? Deanne. Deanne, it's a body.
Yes, I think maybe we could be very happy living here.
He's been murdered.
Will it be all right if I make this room into the dining room?
With this thing lying here?
Oh, our own little home, George. George, do you really love me?
Huh?
You aren't being very romantic. Why don't you elaborate? Why don't you try and convince me?
Look, honey, I don't want to argue about this. All I want is to find out who this...
George, tell me you love me.
I love you. You're the most beautiful girl in the world. Now, be quiet. Don't you understand? A man's been killed here, and maybe we're next.
Now you aren't tender anymore.
Tender? After what I've been through, I'm raw. That flash of lightning. Deanne, I saw who it was. That's the district attorney. What a story! Why, this is the evidence I've been looking for. I've got them. Don't you see, honey? I've got them right where they want me. Listen, they're coming back. Oh, there's no use. I can't get out of these ropes, but I've got to. I've got to for your sake.
Oh, this is so silly. Pretending you can't get loose. Why, that's how I knew they weren't real gangsters. I had my hands free 2 minutes after they'd left.
You what? Well, untie me. Hurry now. Come on.
I'm not going to do it.
You can hear them. They're coming.
You cooked all this up so you can make a romantic rescue. So just go right ahead and make it.
I tell you, I can't get loose, and they're almost here.
Oh, all right. I'll get into the spirit of the thing. There. Now you're free. Come on. But don't think this has changed anything. I still want excitement.
Boy, oh boy, I thought I'd never see this press room again. Now listen, honey, if you don't stop giggling...
Oh, I thought I'd die. Those men running after us shooting blanks.
Hey, Chief! Chief! Chief, where have you been, sir?
Duffy, why, you're crying.
Oh, I've been going crazy, sir. I've been nearly frantic.
Duffy, I had you all wrong. Why, you're all right. Now, come on, there's work to be done. Tear off the front page. We're going to hit the streets with the biggest extra this town ever saw.
Gee, Chief, do you think it's that important?
Important?
Yes, sir.
I'm kidnapped. I'm nearly murdered. I find the body of the DA. I get the evidence that will hang Tootsie Schultz and his whole gang.
But, Chief, you didn't say anything.
News that will blow this town wide open. And you ask me if it's important. Hey, wait a minute. Why were you so frantic? What are you trying to tell me?
The lunch wagon next door. It's on fire there.
On fire?
Why, certainly, sir, but look out the window. You can see the
whole
thing.
Oh, George, this is what I've been wanting. The thrill of covering a real fire. Real excitement. I'll marry you as soon as I get back with the story.
Deanne, come back here. Come here. Women.
Well, what about the extra, Chief?
Extra?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I don't know. I don't care. I'll be in my office. And Duffy?
Yes, sir?
If by any chance the Tootsie Schultz mob comes here with guns and asks for me...
Call the police!
No. Show them in.
Well, I...
Bravo, John. Bravo, Lucille. Now my devoted admirer, Connie Boswell. Connie, brother C?
And Glendo.
Miss Boswell sings one of the top songs of the day. Another melody extract from the piano composition Deep Purple, called Lilacs in the Rain.
I see lilacs in the rain, and you are with me again. When April sprinkles her dreams in my when we parted in the lane, the skies were tearful with rain. The scent of lilacs remained in my heart. Through other arms around forgets to smile, my darling, once in a while, remember April and lilacs in the rain. Lilacs in the rain. With me again when April sprinkles her dreams in my heart, and there you are again in my arms. We parted in the lane, the skies were filled with rain, the scent of lilacs remained.
Here's Warren Hull with more good news about the coffee that's good to the last drop.
Thanks, Eddie. Friends, let's make believe we're at the grocer's. In one corner of the store, we notice a very familiar fragrance in the air. You might say...
Smell that coffee, Mr. Hull. Sure smells good, doesn't it? Think I'll try a pound.
Smells good, all right. But have you ever stopped to realize that coffee fragrance in the air is coffee flavor escaping, wasting away? It's flavor and goodness somebody may pay for, but flavor they never get in the cup.
Why is that, Mr. Hull?
Because of this one important scientific fact. Air steals away coffee flavor. All coffee, ground or in the whole bean, starts to lose flavor as soon as it's roasted, if exposed to the air. In fact, ground coffee, packed in ordinary containers where air can easily reach it, loses as much as 45% nearly half its precious flavor in only 9 days.
But how about Maxwell House?
Well, we think too much of this superb new Maxwell House blend to let one bit of its wonderful flavor and goodness escape. That's just why we take Maxwell House, still fresh and fragrant from the roasting ovens, and pack it in the familiar blue super vacuum can. No air can get in, so no flavor can get out. Maxwell House comes right into your kitchen with a full measure of fresh flavor and fragrance sealed in. None wasted. Yes, that's one of the outstanding values in every pound of Maxwell House coffee. One very good reason why Maxwell House gives you, Mrs. Consumer, so much for your money. So if you want to enjoy coffee goodness you may never have known before, and all the goodness you've paid to enjoy, ask for Maxwell House coffee tomorrow, won't you?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Lou Holtz, Baby Snooks, and the gang presenting Lou Holtz's famous song travesty, O Sola Mio.
They say that Dr. Brown fell down in a well and broke his collarbone. It serves him right. He should have tended to the sick and let the well alone. Oh, sola me.
Oh, sola me.
Oh, sola you.
Oh, sola you.
Ha-cha-cha, ha-cha-cha.
Ha-cha-cha, ha-cha-cha.
Dig, dig, dig.
Dig, dig, dig.
Well, all right.
Well, all right.
Well, all right. And now we hear from Snooksy.
A man got killed in a very funny way. He was my Uncle Andrew Glow. He threw his cigar out the second story window, but he forgot to let go.
Oh, soul of me.
Oh, soul of me.
Oh, soul of you.
Oh, soul of you.
He forgot to let go.
He forgot to let go.
We won't see him anymore.
We won't see him anymore.
Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
And here is John Bowles.
I know a guy that leads women on and on, then leaves them in the dark like a traitor. Still the women keep following him night and day. He's an usher in the Paramount Theater.
Oh, soul of me!
Oh, soul of me!
Oh, soul of you!
Oh, soul of you!
Usher, usher, usher!
Usher, usher, usher!
Paramount.
Paramount.
Diddle-doo.
Diddle-doo.
Uh-huh. And here comes Lalganga.
Pro the Nazo Corradina, Puri Labazab, Bennett's up in a crunk in a book.
He says, there's one thing that puzzles me. I can't figure it out to save my soul.
Muradana Sonagin, the viola von Mardo shaking in a home.
He says, when you take off your shoe and there's a hole in your stocking, what becomes of the goods that was in that hole? Oh, soul of me!
Oh, soul of you.
Oh, soul of you.
Toodle-loo-loo-loo.
La-da-da-da.
La-da-da-da.
Le-le-le.
Tonight in our concert hall, Meredith presents the ninth new American composition, the world premiere of an American minuet written especially for this series by Harold Arlen, the famous composer of the Wizard of Oz music. All right, Meredith, Harold Arlen's American minuet. was beautiful, Meredith, beautiful. My compliments to you and to Harold Arlen, composer of the American Minuet. It will be of interest to all the patrons of the concert hall to know that the popularity of the new American compositions has been so great that the Robbins Music Corporation has decided to publish them all in one volume. Next week, Meredith will present the 10th new composition by an American composer, An American March, written by Ferdi Groffé. And also next week, we have a very special treat for you. The lovely MGM star Ann Southern and William Gargan and a Damon Runyon, Joe Terp story. I'm sure you'll agree these two stars will do a grand job of it. This, of course, in addition to Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks and all the regular gang. So be with us next week, and until then, this is Edward Arnold and all of our good newscasts saying...
This is Warren Hull reminding you that your only ticket of admission to these good news broadcasts has been your loyalty to Maxwell House Coffee. May we continue to deserve that loyalty and support during all the days of the year to come. And now, good night, good luck, and a happy new year to each and every one of you from the makers of Maxwell House, the coffee that's now, more than ever, good to the last drop.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.